Stories of Great Christians. From its radio studios in Chicago, the Moody Bible Institute greets its friends everywhere with Chapter 2 of the transcribed dramatization, William Carey of India. William Carey was born to hard work and poverty. As the son of a humble village weaver, Carey had nothing to look forward to but an undistinguished life and a nameless grave. But when God entered William Carey's life, he changed him from a simple cobbler, a mender of shoes, into the brilliant and resourceful leader of a mighty missionary movement that shook the world. Last time, you remember, we learned something of Will Carey's boyhood in the little 18th century village of Pollersbury, England. We met Will's father, Edmund Carey, the village weaver, who was later the schoolmaster. Then, of course, there was Will's mother. What can we say about her? Well, she was a good, honest woman who believed, like every good mother, that her son shouldn't climb and fall from trees, but instead divide his time between attending school and doing useful chores around the house.
William! William Carey! Come over here, William.
Yes, Ma. What did you want, Ma?
I thought seeing you're doing naught, they might do an errand for me.
Oh, Ma. The lads and me were about to go off for a bit.
Aye, no doubt. Off to be climbing more trees to give thy mother gray hairs.
No, Ma, honest. We were off to the highway. Happen there be a London coach by.
The errand won't take thee but a minute.
Oh, Ma.
Hush up now. Here's the package. I want you to take it to your Uncle Peter.
Happen I might have a bit of the cheese, Uncle Peter?
I will. Help yourself. There's plenty. Mighty good, too.
Thank you, Uncle Peter.
What will the working man be doing without his bread and cheese and his drop of cider at midday?
Have you been working hard, Uncle Peter?
I might say that, lad. But on t'other hand, work that they loves is no work at all.
But is it not awfully hard to be gardening? To be always grubbing in the soil, as one might say?
Does that think so? Look here, lad. Have you ever looked in a clod of soil like this?
Why, no. Of course, I've seen them about.
Well, that's not the same thing. Here, I'll break this one open for you. Here now, look inside. What do you see?
Well, there's worms, ants, slugs.
Aye, and many, many others. Lad, there are thousands of living things in just this one wee clump of earth. It's a little world all its own, that's what it is.
They all seem so busy, traveling about. Well, what are they doing, Uncle Peter?
Well, that's the interesting part. They raise families, they work, they hunt. Why, they even have governments.
And kings? Like George III?
Aye. And some even make war and lead their soldiers into battle, every bit like humans.
You must know a lot about such things.
Let me tell you, lad. I've been a gardener for 20 years. Yet I learn somewhat new about them each day.
I do not doubt it. Uncle Peter, could you teach me aught of this?
Teach thee? About bits of earth?
About nature. About living things, plants and animals.
No one can teach thee, lad. They must learn to use their eyes and ears for theirself.
Learn to use my eyes and my ears?
Aye, that's the ticket, all right. There's the whole world in front of you, lad. Look at it. Now, pass the cider, will you, lad? All this talk has parched my throat for fair.
Well, now you can see from that that Will's Uncle Peter was a good, hard-working man and knew his gardening. For a while, Mother Carey was glad of his influence on Will, but That was before Will got so interested in nature that he began to fill his room with every creeping and crawling and climbing and flying and hopping and leaping and sprouting plant or animal he could lay his hands on. As a matter of fact, Will Carey's bedroom began to take on the appearance of the original Noah's Ark.
Now, I'll argue with you no longer, William Carey. Be good enough to tell me when I can get into that room of yours to clean it.
Oh, it's not that bad, Ma.
Not bad? Not bad? Will you listen to the lad? Why, thy room's an absolute mare's nest. The tables and shelves are covered with dead frogs and snakes. Breeders of disease, they be.
Oh, I always put them in water. They can't do any harm.
Aye, and that's another thing. That basin filled with dirty water, that whatever you call it.
You mean my aquarium? What about it?
Such a thing to be keeping in the bedroom, all filled with croaking frogs and splashing turtles and fish. They must move them all out to the shed, and right away.
Oh, Ma, I need them close so I can watch them and listen to them.
They can watch them and listen to them in the shed as well. No more creatures in the bedroom. And that's final.
How about the songbirds? They does no harm, and he likes to hear them.
Aye, well, happen they do once in a bit sing a pretty song. Very well. They may stay in the bedroom, but in their cages, mind you. As for the other creatures, they must go. And that nest of black and yellow spiders in the corner, I'm for taking a straw broom to them.
But, Ma, I spent weeks collecting those spiders out of the fields.
I've no doubt of it, and it's in the fields they belong. Not in decent folks' bedrooms.
Ma, I thought you liked me to be interested in things in nature. Like Uncle Peter.
Aye, none of your soft soap now. Uncle Peter leaves nature in the fields. He does not fill his bedroom with it, so that a body can't get in and clean.
Well, of course, Mrs. Carey won out. The room was clean to her satisfaction. But like many another boy's room, inside of 1 week it was back to its original condition. Spiders, birds, frogs, fish, and all. Of course, between collecting things from the fields and ponds, Will went to school. Now, to the average 12-year-old boy, going to school is painful enough. But when you add to that the pain of a fiercely aching tooth, you really have a tragic situation.
Hi there, Will, my lad. What's up with ye?
Oh, now but this pesky tooth of mine, Tommy.
Still aching, is it?
Aye, like the mischief.
Well, now, happen we were in London, ye could get one of them fancy tooth doctors to pull it out for ye.
I don't care for doctors, Tommy. Happen they'd want to cut me open.
I don't care for them either. Say, Will, happen I could pull the tooth out for ye.
You pull it out? Oh, thank ye, Tommy. That's good of you, but no.
Well, happen ye could pull it out.
Me pull it out?
Aye. They might tie a bit of string around it and give it a yank, like.
Well, I'm not keen for it, but this tooth hurts so dreadful. Have ye a bit of string, Tommy?
Aye, here ye be, Will. Look, I'll just loop it around for ye. Now, open your mouth wide. Ooh. Ah, that's a bad one for fair.
Never mind. Tie the string.
All right, woman lad. There you be. Now, give the string a good yank, and out the tooth will come.
All right, Tommy. Here I go.
Well, go ahead. Yank it.
I don't know, Tommy. You think it might hurt much?
Nah. Look, Will, I'll count for you. On three, that gives it a big yank. Unless they wants me to.
No, you count. I'll yank it.
All right, then. One, two, and three. Go ahead, Will.
No, Tommy. It's no use. I just can't do it.
Aye. Then we'll have to be thinking of some other way.
Some other way? I tell you, I just can't.
Stop a bit. I have it.
What?
Look here. What's this under my foot?
Not but a big rock.
Aye, not but a big rock. But look, ye will. Supposing now, just supposing, one was to take this big rock and tie it to that bit of string hanging from the tooth.
Aye? What then?
Then one was to give the rock a big heave away from thee. What would happen?
The string would break.
Nah, Will. Your tooth. It would come out like that.
Up and it might.
Sure it would. It would be all over in the wink of an eye.
All right, then. Tie it on. But good and tight, mind you.
Never fear, Will. I'll have it tied in just, there. How's that?
I don't know. I hope it works.
Only one way to find out, Will. Just pick up the stone and give it a good heave like this.
Oh!
How is it, Will?
Oh, it feels like you pulled my jaw off. Why didn't you tell me?
But the tooth, lad, the tooth.
Well, it feels like it's out. Say, Tommy, it is out.
Aye, fancy that now.
Now let's find the rock.
And what for?
I want to get a good look at that tooth.
Nah, do it, Will. It'll bring you bad luck.
Oh, you know, Tom, it seems like there'd be a heap of brass in tooth doctoring.
So they say. Happen we might get a bit better at it. We'll open ourselves a shop, eh, Will, my lad?
In 18th century England, boys in Will Carey's humble station in life were not allowed to go to school very long. Usually, they were apprenticed off to some tradesman by the time they were 14 years old. Will was a little more fortunate. He was allowed to attend until he was past 16, but that was all.
William?
Yes, Papa?
What are you off for, son?
Wait. Just with some of the lads, Papa.
Well, stay a bit. I'd ha' a word with ye. William, Well, sit down, son. I wanted to talk to thee about the future. What are your plans?
Plans? Well, I ain't not thought much on it, Papa.
Well, ye'd best be, hadn't ye? After all, now you're 16 years old. You've been in school 8 years.
Happen I might stay in school a bit longer?
Stay in school? Oh, lad, I wish you could. But that would mean going away to a fine university. Such as nor the likes of you nor me. Think no more on it, son.
Then I must find me a trade?
Aye, but one ye like, son. Happen ye'd want to be a weaver, a blacksmith?
No, I don't think so.
A tanner. Now there's a good trade, a tanner.
I think if I must choose now, I think I'd like to be a gardener, like Uncle Peter.
A gardener? But, lad, don't you know you'd have to start as a field worker?
Right. But after a few years, I might become a gardener at a fine estate, with a chance to learn more about the things of nature.
But to start as a field laborer, it does not pay very much.
But to work with living, growing things, Papa. That's what I love best.
Very well, lad. It's what thee loves best is most important after all. We'll see about getting thee a job in the field tomorrow.
And so we conclude Chapter 2 of William Carey of India. We are presenting another in the transcribed series of Stories of Great Christians, which come to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.